The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, La Mera Mera, that's right, your AEW World Women's Champion, Thunder Rosa, and I take over the podcast for a Falls Count Anywhere Friday. And Thunder Rosa has a very important statement to make to the nation. We have that. Also, the return of our good friend from Wrestling Inc., Justin Labar, is back. And before the big gay brunch, number 5 on Sunday, Effie joins us right here on the Busted Open Podcast.
As you know, it's been a very interesting week, David. And I know a lot of people are waiting for me to say something, waiting for me to say something about what has happened and what's transpired in the last week since I announced my, you know, injury. And I would like to say something now so we can get it out of the way for the program so we can continue. And I, because I want to have fun. I want to listen to you guys. You guys fill me out with energy. You guys, like I said, there's a lot of stuff that it's been really hard. And like being here at Busted Open has been definitely one of the highlights of my career this year. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful to the Busted Open family. And everyone that has been able to make this happen. But with that said, I want to make the following statement. And I know this is, like I was telling you, David, it's becoming a Friday thing. You know, I'm like trying to not be in everybody's mouth. But and believe me, I don't like doing this, and I don't like coming to the show and saying things like this. But the only thing I want to do moving forward is I want to be able to do my therapy 4 times a week, rest mentally and physically. And I want to stay at home with my family. This Wednesday, and I was able to celebrate my son's birthday for, I don't know, in the last 5 years, I was able to sit with him. I was able to see him smile, blow the candles. He's turning 17. So I miss a lot of years of his childhood. Because of what I believe, because I decided to become a professional wrestler and be a successful businesswoman, and we have to make sacrifices. But, you know, instead of like having you, David, sing my song in the most horrible way and talk about your hot sauce that I just got, nice. I have to make this statement. I just want to say to everyone that I stand with women's pro wrestling, which I believe has been essential for me in the last 7 years of my career. And it is very pivotal and very important in my life and my career at this moment. I don't know what the future holds for me, but for the past 7 years, I have dedicated myself to women's pro wrestling. I have sacrificed my body and health, and I have sacrificed my health a lot, and I'm paying for it right now. I have sacrificed time with my family, my friends, and my own personal wealth to make sure that I help women that are not allowed or don't have the opportunity to live their dreams. And just, you know, it will be just easy for me to, you know, have a match on Wednesday or Friday and then just come back home and, you know, chill and take pictures and do selfies and you know, take pictures with celebrities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But no, David, instead, When I come back from work, I come to work because I have a passion for this. I have a passion for Mission Pro Wrestling. And where the last 3 years, we have raised money for different organizations. And the most important part, we have given a space to women that otherwise didn't have a space and still do not have the space in the independent scene to show and to showcase their dreams of becoming professional wrestlers and being the best that they can be. I invested my family's money and giving others a shot to doing what they love. I think it is only fair that women can do what they want to do with their lives. And believe me, I am not the richest woman in the world, but if I had a dollar to invest in women's pro wrestling, I will do it all over again. But it's a dollar that I don't have to invest in my family, in my retirement, and in my future. And that's okay. That's why I choose to do, because somebody has to do it. And like I said, it's because it's an American tradition. A minority has to lead the way. I want to say it again. I stand with women's pro wrestling. I believe in diversity. I believe in equal pay. I believe in equality. And that's why I have fought for the last 7 years, not only for me, but for those who come after me. Those women that have called me, that have texted me, that have said, Thunder, I don't have a space. There is no place for me to go. Nobody wants to give me a chance. And I said, you know what? Let me see what we can do. We talk to our sponsors because we're not rich. We don't make money out of these small shows. They're charity shows. We have sponsors all over the country who are just as invested as we are for women's pro wrestling and to make a difference in our community, and especially in pro wrestling. I think pro wrestling should lead the way in showing how equality looks like in the sport. And really, just to finish this, I'm very hopeful that the four-way that are fighting for the interim women's world title on Sunday has the best match of the card. I really do. And when I come back healthy, I will take all my frustration on whoever is on my way for the unification of this title. I actually like the Undisputed World Championship moniker, but I do feel, and you know this, David, and everybody should know it, I am the undisputed best female wrestler in the world. And I deserve the championship reign to prove it. That's all I have to say.
Hey, everyone. Jen Piacenti here, host of Sticks and Stacks, the podcast that brings you the very best action from the world of hockey and baseball. Each week, myself, Sean Drotar, and Nate Lundy will bring you our best picks and talk you through the props, bets, and fantasy advice that can help you become the best fantasy manager in your league or even just help you win some money. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the SXM app, free for most subscribers.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
It's time to spar with LaBar. Justin, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you. I'm back in black. Hey, absence makes the heart grow fonder, all right?
So, Justin, there is a lot to get into today on your segment because, my goodness, Justin, this is a crazy busy weekend.
Yeah, I mean, this is a beautiful time to be a wrestling fan, isn't it? And we can say wrestling, no matter which company you're talking about. That's exciting. Huge weekend, whether you are over in the UK, whether you're in Chicago, it's wrestling that's taken over the world, and not just any wrestling, but great wrestling. I mean, like, you know, I always say wrestling is a buffet. There's a little something for everybody, whether you want, you know, whatever style you want, whatever size characters, whether you want more real based characters, you want more sci-fi characters, hardcore, whatever. I mean, there's something for everybody literally coming up here this weekend. And again, tons of characters, tons of backstory. That's always my big thing. I don't want to just see two I don't want to just see good guy, bad guy. I want to know the story. I want to know there's a reason. I want to know that I've been invested. And I think that's across the board going on. So it's an exciting time. It makes me amped up to spar and come on here.
And let's get into this weekend, because like you said, there's a lot of great wrestling. We're going to see it tomorrow night, Clash at the Castle, then Worlds Collide Sunday afternoon, and then All Out. Of all the cards and matches that we're going to see this weekend, Justin, what's the one that you're most excited about?
Ooh. So much, like, it's like choosing.
I know.
Well, you know, look, I'm going to say this, and maybe it's because I'm kind of like in my mind, I'm going in order of what I'm going to see things. You know, the Roman Reigns with Drew thing, obviously, how can you not get, you know, how can you not get excited to think, you know, this is, you know, the UK fan base, which all of us, you know how passionate they are, and they travel well. Now they don't have to do all the traveling. They're getting this, you know, huge pay-per-view or premium live event rather. There in Cardiff, Wales, obviously a lot of callback to 30 years ago in Wembley when you had SummerSlam 92. But so to have Drew, somebody from their side of the pond who is in such a prominent role, getting to challenge Roman Reigns on this historic run. And again, going back to Drew, we'll talk about a guy who, you know, had to carry the flag for the company during the pandemic, during empty arena shows, you know, finally got his big break since returning to WWE, and then crowds go away. So it's nice that this kind of feels like a little bit of a redemption, that he gets to, again, be in a main event, have this, you know, backyard kind of support. And you know what? A couple months ago, when it was heavily rumored that that would probably be the match, even before storyline, you know, made it so, it was kind of assumed that they're going to put Drew out there, and that'd be a wise marketing decision. And I didn't disagree with it. But at that time, and I'm talking like early summer, I was like, all right, it's a marketing thing. It's great. You know, get a nice main event payday, but there's not a chance in hell that he's going to take the title. Now, because of how fresh and open creative feels like it has been over in WWE lately, now with other pieces moving around, like the return of a Karrion Kross, who's inserted himself into SmackDown, and just with rumors and speculation of who else could pop up in WWE, it feels like anything is possible, and that maybe I'm still putting my money on Roman Reigns, but I still have this little thing, and I haven't felt this little thing in the last 2 years in Roman's run. Maybe there is a way that he does lose. Maybe Drew does come out on top. So that's exciting to have all of those pieces funneling into this main event match in front of what's going to be a tremendous crowd. I know it.
You know what? I don't know if you were able to see the you know, the hype video for McIntyre, and that was, it was very emotional. Like the way that they recorded, the way that they told the story. I think that's what one of the things that makes you think maybe there's a chance that he can win. That's what I like about pro wrestling. When things are done the right way and you're telling a story before you get in the ring, because that you're drawn. And again, it's like their reaction. I can't wait to see their reaction with he's at home, where he's introducing his own home against, you know, Roman Reigns, who's very hated right now. So it's going to be extremely amazing to see that.
It's going to be a moment. It's all about backstory.
Yeah. It's going to be a moment. Like, I think that's like that, you know, again, we could talk about missed opportunities or missed moments. They are definitely capitalizing on this and what we're going to see tomorrow. One other match that a lot of people haven't talked about, guys, that I'm actually really interested in, and that is for the SmackDown Women's Championship, Liv Morgan and Shayna Baszler. I'm very interested to see what happens. I mean, Liv Morgan, obviously the fans are completely behind her, but Shayna Baszler is like a legit badass. So I'm very interested to see if Liv Morgan can retain this championship this weekend.
No, I love Liv. I'm sorry, Justin. Go ahead.
No, we're talking about women's wrestling. We got a women's wrestling on here.
You
go
know,
ahead.
I love Liv, and I know, again, you know, a lot of people have, you know, been very, very critical of her reign as a champion. And now we're having, you know, now Ronda Rousey, we've had Ronda Rousey, and now she has Shayna, which I think, I like I said, I love Liv, but I like Shayna to have an opportunity to become a champion too. Because she's worked her ass off the whole entire time that she's been there. And NXT, she did a great, great job as a champion. And she's just like, she's one of those talents that gets it. And she's so different, right? That would be a really nice upset. But if not, I mean, like I said, I like Liv. So hopefully she retains this title.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of Liv as well. I think actually that might have been the last time we did the spar with the LeBar segment, Dave. I think we were talking Money in the Bank, and Liv was one of my, you know, that was one of my predictions, as I could see it happen, see her just winning the the briefcase, and then, you know, she took it a step further that night. I'm a fan of hers, but I can also agree to some of what Thunder said about, you know, wanting to see Shayna get an opportunity and Shayna presented, you know, see, you know, like we just talked about the video package of Drew, see some of the more packaging of Shayna and her story and her aura. And, you know, I do love a champion, or I do love a babyface that's got the support that Liv has. I love seeing them chase. You know, she didn't, you know, it really wasn't a chase when she was in the Money in the Bank match. You know, she was one of what, 8 women. So you're just kind of out there, you know, trying to, you know, beat the odds. But if they were to take the title off Liv, I just hope that it wouldn't be like a demotion of, okay, end of the line, who's next up. I'd like to see her still involved chasing, because I feel like the chase could be very valuable. And then if she did win it again at later time and maybe at a big show, it might set her up for an even better title reign than what this current one has been that some people have critiqued.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's just like, I feel like a lot of the times they don't know how to book babyfaces champions. They just don't. And it's all for us. It's all about the chase. It's all about the chase. They just want you to chase that. They want you to get your ass beat. And even when you are a champion, they just want you to get your ass beat and win, you know, the underdog story. So, you know, it's just, again, having Shayna, and if she beats Shayna, again, it's somebody as caliber as Ronda Rousey. So give her probably more of a respectful, you know, opponent. And like, now they can see that she can hang and she can do something. So I'm, like I said, I'm really confident that she will be able to do it, both of them. And I like both for their work. And again, with Shayna, because I know Shayna for a longer when she was in the independent scene, and I know how much she loves pro wrestling too. It makes it a lot more interesting for me to watch this match.
Well, Thunder, to that point about Chase, and it made me think about, I was thinking about this earlier, kind of to segue some of the topics you guys are doing. You know, I was thinking about, you know, great pay-per-views and things like that. And I remember, you know, I was there in New Orleans in 2014 for Mania 30, and the incredible chase that Bryan Danielson had, that was so organic, that was, you know, that completely, you know, forced them to, you know, cross out and pen what they had already written down and start over. And the chase was incredible. And then I was there, the conquering, you know, the conquering of the winning the two matches that he did and all the drama. It was a moment, you know, right? The Yeselmania or the Miracle on Bourbon Street. But then it was a fact. It was a thing of, like, the next day I woke up and, like, as a fan, I went, all right, well, what now?
Yeah.
You know, it's like that. So to the point, chase. And you know, and hopefully once you're at the top of the mountain, there's enough there to keep you at the top of the mountain, or there's another mountain to climb beyond that. But there's something about that chase, man, that is richer than sometimes crossing the finish line.
Hey, everyone, it's Brad the Big Noise Evans from the Fantasy Fast Track. With the fantasy football season upon us, catch me and Brandon Fun Buns Funston every week as we sprint through a variety of fantasy football topics, including waivers, trade targets, sleepers, plus, and more. If that first place medal is what you're after, we've got the information to help you make it happen. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts, or listen on the SXM app, free for most subscribers.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Effie joins us here on Busted Open. Effie, how are you this morning?
Hello, good morning. Listen, I got a text last night that said, do you want to come talk to Dave LaGreca and Thunder Rosa? And I said, you know what? I'm going to get out of bed and do that. And then afterwards, I might go back to bed.
And well,
I'm really happy to have him. I mean, you're definitely one of our favorite guests in our show. But I know that David was going to try to ask you about your show, the Gay Brunch, which I was telling them that I was there in Dallas when I was running, you know, Mission Pro Wrestling with GCW and the Collective. You get to do it again. I know that you guys have been running shows along with other big events. And now it's in Chicago. Last year, I met a lot of you guys during All Out Weekend. And we're excited to have you here because you're going to talk about your show this year.
Yeah, this is incredible. And this is the fifth time we're doing the Big Gay Brunch. And I almost had to kind of be coaxed into it this time, because sometimes I think I'm very casual about the way I approach wrestling and approach this as a career. But also, like last year, I wrestled 7 matches in 5 days and ran the Big Gay Brunch in Chicago, and I was like spent. So this year, I almost kind of had to be coaxed back into doing it. But once I started the process and saw the talent that we had available and saw the matches we could do, it was like a no-brainer. And we had so many people come out in Dallas. We've had so many people come out, in Chicago before. And this is a return city for us. And I think bringing in these kind of talents around the weekend, when you have things like All Out, things like Rampage going on, all these other wrestling shows going on, everybody gets a look at everything. And so it's kind of a really exciting time for a lot of these talents because people are seeing them on this bigger stage for the first time.
You know, Effie, and with this event, like, and you just said it, you're spent when you do these events because there's so much that goes into it. So what's it like for you? And again, thank you so much for the time because this is obviously very close to the event. There are still tickets available. Go to eventbrite.com. And again, Big Gay Brunch 5, Effie's Big Gay Brunch number 5 right here coming up for All Out Weekend. So definitely be a part of it. Starts at 11 a.m. on Sunday. So plenty of time to be a part of this great event before everything that happens at All Out Sunday night. And it's close enough to you from All Out. So anybody that's staying in Chicago or Schaumburg are close enough to this event. But for you, like, just, you know, step us through this weekend for you as you get closer and closer to this event and all the details and all the work that goes into an event like this.
Yeah, it's a lot of planning up front that, I don't know if this is a familiar thing to hear, but a lot of my brothers and sisters in the LGBTQ community are very good at planning. So the fact that I've sort of been left in charge of this large scale show with everyone on it, it is kind of hilarious because I'm not the best at planning. But for this one, for the 5th brunch that we're doing, I feel like I've actually got a plan here. I've got real brunch happening at the event. I've got a lot of new talent debuting at the event. When you get to these weekends, you kind of, like, I'm fighting Max the Impaler. They've been in Japan beating people up. This is a real wrestling match. This is going to be a fight. I think sometimes people get confused that, oh, it's just going to be this LGBTQ showcase. We're going to hold hands. Everyone's going to be so proud of them. But it really is a giant, crazy, violent party. And once people kind of get past the rainbow that we put on the front, they're going, this is crazy, weird, wild wrestling. And so to get to, like, kind of share the stage with all of these other people this weekend and sort of show our brand of wrestling, by the time Sunday rolls around, you know, and this is no offense to anyone, I take a nap by the time All Out gets on because I am spent by that Sunday at about 2 p.m. We put on a party. I want it to feel like you're going out for a kind of rowdy night on the town or waking up for that morning brunch in Atlanta. Sometimes my partner goes to brunch in Atlanta with all the gay friends. We're out for 4 or 5 hours. So there's a spirit to this that is like, yes, it's awesome. We're doing gay wrestling. It's beautiful. It's respectful. Everyone wins. But then you get there and it's like, oh, this is pretty rowdy. There are mimosas. People are bleeding. There are death matches.
Yeah.
People are dressed. It's a whole spectacle that sort of doesn't feel like your prim and proper wrestling show. And so for people to kind of come out and be their weird, wild selves, and also get to have some cool wrestling with it. This is, I mean, I'm rambling all over the place, but I'm just really excited to be able to put on a show like this. And then to also kind of have the control to tell talent that you usually are working alongside, like, here's this weird idea that doesn't sound good. Go with me on it. And then they get to sort of see how my brain works, even outside of just Big Gay Brunch stuff, just the Effie brain of entering a wrestling match and going, I think we could do some weird things here, and making them almost go along with it to create a bigger, wilder environment.
Effie, you mentioned something about the gay brunch with your partner. Was the name and the concept of the gay brunch came from that, or you would just like, oh, I think it's a cool little thing and do it in the midday? Like, where did it came from?
Yeah, well, listen, in Atlanta, Georgia, they have a huge pride every year, and a lot of the drag girls do shows that they call the Big Gay Brunches, and drag brunch and gay brunch in Atlanta, I mean, it's kind of a cultural thing. You know, I was talking to my podcast host, Peter, the other day on Weekend at Effie's. He said, if you haven't really done the brunch scene in Atlanta, and Chicago's kind of similar, it's sort of an all-day community affair. People are getting pretty drunk on a Sunday. People are out on the town. People are taking their time with the meal. And we want to bring the rest of the wrestling world sort of into this, hey, you can come support us. You can watch wrestling. It'll be great. But you can also understand that, like, we have a different party energy because we've been outsiders, because we've been away from things that is very fun for everyone, whether you're in our community or not. And so having people sort of come into this vibe that we've tried to create that isn't as much reverent and, oh, look at them, we're so proud of everyone, and is more like, our world's more fun anyway, aren't you enjoying it? It stems out of that sort of, I don't want to say that brunch is punk rock, but I don't know. There's sort of a we'll do what we want vibe to it that comes from that gay culture of taking the Sunday breakfast or the Sunday family, you know, lunch and turning it into a party before it's even 5 o'clock.
You know, Effie, and I ask this to a lot of athletes as well. Like, here it is. This is kind of like the unofficial official end of summer, this holiday weekend. Did you get the opportunity to kind of take a vacation, or are all your travels centered around pro wrestling? Did you have time to kind of unplug and have downtime over this past summer?
No, absolutely not. It's been wild, but it's also been a summer of sort of putting my head down and getting the work done. And I've got a lot of big opportunities coming up in the fall where, like, this Sunday kind of kicks off a trail of big dominoes falling for me and getting a lot of things done, where I'm going to leave here after Maxime Paler beats me up on Sunday. And the next week I have some crazy announcements. The next week I'm going to be headed to the UK. Luckily, the week after that, my lovely partner is coming with me to Japan for GCW's Tour of Japan. So
congratulations, by the way. I'm so excited for you guys.
Thank you. I'm very excited. I'm a little worried, though, because I'm worried the same thing might happen in Key West that happens in Japan. Sometimes when Effie goes somewhere, if I stay too long, they make me the whole president of the land. I don't even sign up to be in the election. So if Japan is anything like Key West, I think 10 days is the limit right now before I'm elected to a high position. I think people are excited for Effie to jump in on this, but this may be the little bit of time that me and my partner have to go, we don't have a show for 4 days. We're in a foreign land. Let's enjoy ourselves.
Oh, man, you guys are going to. Have you been in Japan before?
No, never, and neither is he. So we're super pumped to get to take this and go over. And luckily it worked out to where he could come help us out a little bit and get a pretty cool Japanese vacation out of it while I'm getting beat up.
I'll have you, some of my friends from Japan reach out to you so you can take you to, like, some nice places. I'll make sure do that. I love Japan. That's my second home, and I would love to share that with you because they're really good friends of mine.
That is beautiful. Now you've got me real excited. Let's go.
You know, Effie, we've talked a lot this week about, like, you know, social media and the pro wrestling community with social media. A lot of times it's negative. I mean, at least everything that I've seen with you and obviously as we get closer to your big gay brunch in Chicago, it's been mostly positive. Like, have you found that social media, or at least the internet wrestling community, has been on board with everything that you've been doing?
Yeah, I think I would be stupid not to admit that I haven't gone to my talent and sort of the biggest thing Effie can do right now is listen in a lot of cases. We have a lot of new types of people coming into wrestling. We have a lot of, you know, different diverse performers that I want to give a shot on the stage to that may have been overlooked in the past. And so I did kind of reflect back on it and say, okay, let's make sure we're taking care of everyone. Let's look at everything as a bigger picture. But hey, I'm still Effie. I'm going to do what I want to do. The thing about the internet that I used to say was, like, it's just people on the internet, but it's turned into a little more. And, you know, with the anonymity, people are going to say what they want to say. If you take everybody's comments literally online, you'd go crazy. If you know yourself in your heart that you are doing the right thing and you're putting good effort into stuff and putting hard work in, those comments, you know, that come across negatively or trying to attack you, they don't come across as strongly when there's nothing really to back it up. So I kind of take everything at face value, but I'm not going to say if something isn't, you know, being asked of me or if I'm not being pointed at something I'm doing is wrong, that I won't shift or make changes. But it's come from, you know, people near me and around me rather than faceless profiles. The real Liv Morgan follows me on Twitter, but there are about 100 fake Liv Morgan accounts that are burner accounts that keep following me and telling me I suck. It doesn't affect me when the real one's already there and says I don't.
It's a great point. Yep. And you know what? It's you gotta listen to your fans, but you gotta make sure that at least the fans that you're listening to are actually real. And a lot of times when it comes to social media, they're not. With this card that we're gonna see on Sunday, and again, it's Sunday at 11 a.m. Effie's Big Gay Brunch. Please go to eventbrite.com for all details. Will this be available on Fight TV on Sunday?
Yes, we are streaming live on Fight. Last time in Dallas, you know, we were trending pretty high nationally. A lot of people make a big spectacle of having their own big gay brunch at home to watch along. I know that it's been exciting to see, you know, all the different sort of brunches where our brunch at the event hasn't been as good. But this year I kind of had to match my people watching on Fight with how good their food looked at home. We have a really lit brunch this year. And listen, I know it's at 11 a.m. I get it. I'm doing war games the night before with Alley Catch. We're going to win the TCW tag belts back. if I can be up and there at call time at 9 a.m., y'all can make it by 11 for the show. So come enjoy yourself. Have a mimosa. Have breakfast. Enjoy the wrestling. Learn some new wrestlers and just see crazy stuff, because no one's really telling you not to book weird, crazy things. I booked Pero against Kid Bandit. It's going to be insane.
Effie, there's one thing you said about this specific show that you have. It's been the fifth one now, and now you have community all over the country, maybe all over the world, sharing this specific show in a way that is more intimate. They're having a brunch at home while watching this. We were talking about pay-per-views and which is the first favorite pay-per-view. For a lot of people that are, you know, gay, lesbian, LGBTQ community, this is where they're feeling accepted, and this is like the celebration of everyone, right? And it's so beautiful that you,
right.
as Effie, as a, you know, the flag holder of this, is able to continue to do this, and now you continue to have it, and I wanted to say it's very successful. Actually, this is one of the shows that has the most attendance when they do collectives. I've seen it live.
Yeah,
we did really well.
I think second to it too, we're in a strange industry where pro wrestling, even though there are only certain people who are watching pro wrestling, everyone sort of has an idea of what pro wrestling is or has an opinion of pro wrestling, whether they're a fan or not. So kind of bringing in people who think they already know what we do and already know what pro wrestling is, and they see this strange new world of things that look a little more to them like what entertainment would look like or like something they would enjoy, it's kind of an eye-opening thing. And so we're finding out there's a lot of people who are just like, hey, I'm kind of returning to wrestling, or I'm finding wrestling for the first time, or I never knew there was anything like this. And sort of seeing that growth and seeing these new people out there, there's nothing better than that.
What is pro wrestling to you? Because like you just said something I think that's very interesting, that a lot of people who don't watch it, they think they know what pro wrestling is, and then maybe they go to your show and they're blown away because they see a different form of entertainment than they were expecting. Like, for you as a performer, what is pro wrestling?
I've been a little cheeky about it, but I often say Tom Cruise does do his own stunts, but he also gets 50 takes in a script. I think what we do is the most insane version of acting and theater possible. I mean, we're showing up. We're having an improvisational fight in front of you. You can reach out and touch us. You can look at us. We can change the story on the fly. Can you imagine if somebody tried to do Hamlet and they were like, I think I'm going to Memphis Hamlet tonight, brother. Just listen to it. It's the strangest, weirdest version of theater that is sort of this unhinged, one-take live thing that even if I was in a Broadway play, I'd do the same play every night for 4 months. When in reality, like, I've had one-act violent plays multiple times with different people that have some similarities but are very different every time. And so, like, there's a visceral component to what we do that sometimes I think when we think of it in the pro wrestling terms and the hierarchy and companies and people, we miss the point of, like, we get to go out and tell whatever story we need to tell through this violent method and get the people to feel what we're feeling and put them there. And we've only got one take to do it. And if we mess up or something changes, if our plan isn't a good idea, we've got to move with the people. And there's an addiction to that where, like, I think even if I was in a movie, I'd probably still go take some bookings because I need the raw energy of actually pro wrestling.
I love it. Again, Effie's Big Gay Brunch 5 in Chicago. Make sure you get tickets at eventbrite.com. 11 a.m. on Sunday, so plenty of time to celebrate with Effie, and then you have plenty of time, a lot of downtime, before you get to All Out later on. It's going to be held at the Grand Sports Arena in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Again, a stone's throw away from where All Out is taking place this weekend on Sunday. Again, go to eventbrite.com. If you can't make it out to the Chicago area, it's going to be available on Fight TV as well, so definitely check it out on Fight if you can't make it out.
Hi, everyone. This is Heisman Trophy winner and NFL quarterback Doug Flutie. I'm excited to tell you that my podcast, the Flutie Flakes Cast, is back for the entire football season. I may have played like 21 years of professional football in 3 different leagues, but I'm still just a big kid, and I absolutely love this game. Every week, we'll talk about the topics I care about and bring on super fun guests. So please subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast or listen on the SXM app. Include it with most subscriptions.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, Thunder, let me ask you this, because you've been a part of some papers. Your personal favorite pay-per-view match that you have had.
That I have had?
Yes.
Let's see. Man, I've been in so many different... You know which one? You know, and people would be like, why that? I think it was the Casino Royale last year and All Out. It was really cool because it was a whole entire division. And it's like it was that moment where... we have received so much criticism for like the whole entire time that we've been at AEW, and we all had to work together to put the match together, right? And make sure that the moments and the stories went the way that they were supposed to. And it was really cool because that's when, you know, Ruby Soho came out, and her and I were the last two in the Casino Battle Royale or Casino Royale. And that was really cool. I felt that I felt the love of the people in Chicago. Like the pop was incredible, and I really did enjoy that. And like I told you, like the first one ever will be for me. It was with Sheeta because like she's the one who helped me be out there, because that's the first match. One of the first matches that people saw about Thunder Rosa, and they were really impressed. And there was one moment in where she gives me one of her finishers. And I kick out a one and I make a face. I stick my tongue out. And it's just, I have that saved on my gifts. It was, I don't know. I was on it that night, and I really, really enjoyed it. And the whole process of putting it together with Sheeta, with Kenny Omega and the whole the crew at that moment, it was really, really cool.
And that Casino Battle Royale from, again, a year ago in Chicago at All Out, that I remember that crowd, it was like split 50-50 with you and Ruby Soho and the chants, the dueling chants. And then you had just eliminated Nyla Rose, correct?
Yes. Yes.
And that was a pretty cool moment a year ago.
A year ago. And it's really sad. In retrospect, it is really sad because I don't get to defend my title. I don't get to go to All Out, which is the main pay-per-view that pretty much made me who I am now. And I don't know, man. Like, I remember the memories. Like, I'd run like 3 miles before the match. I wrote a bunch of stuff about how I was feeling at the moment. I was very nervous going in there because it is an important place when you are the last two people in a battle royale, because that's especially if you are putting somebody over, right? And that was very important for me. That was a special moment for Ruby because she was coming from you know, being released and now, you know, being a big star at AEW. So I really have really great memories about that. That weekend was really, really awesome. It was, you know, the baseball game. Then we did a presentation with the Fire Buddies from Chicago, as another nonprofit organization that helped kids with cancer that are either battling cancer or had cancer, and helps their families with financial support and amongst other things to make them their transition better and a little bit happier. It was really special. And it really sucks that I'm not going to be there. Honestly, it really sucks that I'm not going to be there with you guys, with the nation, that I'm not going to be doing the activities with the fans. That's one of my favorite things to do, is the meet and greet with the fans. And then I'm not going to be able to hear my music. I'm not going to be able to walk out down the ramp. I'm not going to be able to feel the energy of the people. That's what makes me very, very sad. Very, very sad. Cause I am one of the people. And I every time I'm there, it's like, I can't express it enough how great it feels to perform in front of thousands of people. And yeah, I'm really sad about that.
You'll be back. You'll be back, and you'll have a chance to defend that championship again at a major pay-per-view. You did at Forbidden Door with Tony Storm, which I thought was an amazing show, because I'm such a big fan of not just AEW, but New Japan as well. And that match that you had really representing the women's division on a stacked pay-per-view, you and Tony Storm killed it that night.
Yeah, we did. And I really do hope that she wins the championship, the interim championship. She deserves it, and she's, you know, hopefully she gets it.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.